I'm Paul Harris, filling in for McGraw-Millhaven in time for our weekly chat with veteran ABC News journalist Sam Donaldson. Good morning, Sam.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
I was thinking about tomorrow night's debates and Jim Lehrer's role as the moderator, and I know you were in Washington for so many years covering the White House and talking about the news. Did anybody ever come to you and say, hey, Sam, you want to moderate a debate?
No, I don't think. Well, one time, they didn't come to me, but one time I was proposed by one of the sides as the moderator of a debate many years ago, and the other side said, absolutely not. They're probably right.
Would you have wanted to do it?
It's an interesting thing to do. And of course, in the business that we're in, you want to do things that you're capable of, if you are, and that would be one of them, but not now, not now.
Yeah, you know, the moderators tend to get more attacks this year, particularly earlier this year in the Republican debates. Newt Gingrich went after John King from CNN. Do you expect to see any of that from the president and the governor?
Well, Jim Lehrer is kind of a guy that it's hard to attack. Jim doesn't really open himself up to attack. So I don't expect that either side is going to attack him.
All right, let's talk about the expectations game here, because both sides are trying to downplay the debating abilities of their own guy while playing up the other guy's debating abilities. How much is the expectations game a factor going into this debate?
Oh, it's just a tactic, but I don't think it's a big factor. I think, first of all, most of the people who are watching the debate have made up their minds. They're just watching to see that their guy beats the other guy. And no matter what their guy does, even if he falls in his face, which I don't expect either one to do, they'll say, hey, he won. It's the people who maybe can be changed by what they see or really haven't made up their minds that the two men are going to be playing to. And both will try to appear presidential. And the president has an advantage there because he is the president. But Mitt Romney is going to try to say, well, he's the president now. But given his record, he's not going to be after November, and I'm going to be, and you can trust me.
Yeah, I always find it funny when guys who have been in politics for as long as these guys have, who had to go through as many debates as they had to get to where they are, say, I'm not really that experienced at it.
Well, but that's, as you point out, Paul, that is trying to lower the expectations so that if they do pretty well, you say, wow, wow, wow. Or if they make a mistake, you say, well, that's what we expected.
Is the bottom line here really for both of these candidates, you don't have to say anything great, you just have to avoid saying something stupid?
Well, no, I don't think so this time. Normally that might be it, but to use the old cliche expression, Mitt Romney, Governor Romney, needs a game changer. If he comes out of this debate tomorrow night and people say, well, he did okay, you know, he did all right. Okay at this point is not good enough.
Not good enough. Interesting. Now, in the past, when we've had incumbent presidents taking on their challengers in the first debate, the president, whoever it was, Republican or Democrat, has usually come off afterwards as being the guy who lost that debate. But that doesn't really necessarily tie into how they're going to perform later on Election Day, 5 weeks from now.
Well, it doesn't, but it's important. For instance, in 1976, Gerald Ford, the incumbent, said, well, I don't think the polls think that they're dominated by the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter was standing there, and of course, there were tanks that were approaching Poland, Soviet divisions, and he didn't come off of that for 4 or 5 days. And then, of course, in 1980, Jimmy Carter, attacked Ronald Reagan pretty effectively from the standpoint of the record. And Reagan comes back shaking his head saying, there you go again. And didn't answer the attack, but with that phrase, people said, well, he's Mr. Nice Guy. I like him.
Yeah, and then 4 years later, when Reagan debated Walter Mondale, trounced Reagan in the first debate, but then got trounced at the polls on Election Day. So,
oh, yeah. In the first debate, Ronald Reagan at the end, tired and over-prepared and all of that, just kind of lost it. And people went, oh. And then in the second debate, when he was asked about it by Henry Truett of the Baltimore Sun, he said, well, Mr. Truett, I can tell you that I'm not going to make my opponent's relative youth and inexperience an issue in this campaign. Mondale laughed.
Yeah.
And the old actor took a sip of water.
That's a great line, obviously one that was rehearsed. I know that the Romney camp has said that they have their candidate practicing zingers for the last several weeks. How difficult is it for a candidate to not only get all the facts and figures in their head, but also to remember those scripted lines?
Well, even if they remember them perfectly, they come off as zingers. When Reagan said, there you go again, he hadn't prepared for that. I mean, it just flowed naturally. That was Ronald Reagan talking. Reagan prepared at the end, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? But Singer, while people will remember it, I think in this debate is not going to win the debate. It is the specifics of how you're going to create jobs and whether, in fact, it's fair to say, well, you need another 4 years rather than you didn't do it in 4 years, so we're going to change horses.
All right, there's one other factor I want to talk to you about in this race that I find very interesting, and it has nothing to do, well, it has very little to do with the debates, and that is the fact that there are 34 states and the District of Columbia that now allow early voting. Iowa and Idaho and South Dakota have already started. Ohio is starting today. So there are people who've already cast their votes before the debates, and there will be many who will cast their votes before the final debates 3 weeks from today. So how much of a factor is that for the first time in American history?
Well, it's going to be a factor. But again, this year, with the partisan divide we have in this country, it's not as if people really don't know, but they just think they'll vote early. And then they say, oh, my goodness, I like the other guy after all. People who vote early, they like their man right now, and they're unlikely to change. But in other elections, it could be a factor. And this is different from absentee ballots, when you can demonstrate that you're not going to be in town on election day. Certainly you have an opportunity to vote. To vote early, this early in an election in which we don't have this great partisan divide, I think is dangerous.
Ohio's Secretary of State Husted says 4 years ago, 1.7 million people cast early voting ballots. They're already halfway past that with five more weeks to go. I think perhaps that is a group of people who have either made up their mind completely or are hoping, if I vote, will you stop calling me for polls?
Well, maybe you're right on the latter, Paul, but I think you're right on the former. As I say, people this year have made up their mind. They're in concrete. And maybe for good reasons on both sides, because it is unlikely that this or the other debates, one of the candidates will suddenly come out with a position that's new, that's different, that he's never expressed before, and it will make some traction. That's very unlikely.
So what are the undecideds waiting for? What do they want to hear before they finally make up their minds?
Well, this is the group of people who control elections in this country. They vote sometimes for the Democrats, sometimes for the Republicans. Often they vote to throw the bums out, whoever the bums are, when they're hurting. But this may not occur this time. As we know from the polls, while the race is tight nationally, in the swing states that will elect the next president, Barack Obama is ahead by double digits.
Sam Donaldson, our ABC News analyst, thank you so much for your time as always.
Talk to you, Paul.
719 here at the Big 550 KTRS.